Here's an interesting verse. Listen to it. Our Lord said, "Thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans." He said this in verse 6 of Revelation 2. Are you asking who were the Nicolaitans? One night, a backwoods preacher saw a lot of nickels in the offering plate when he needed dollars. He said, "Now I know why the Lord said, I hate the Nicolaitans." But that's not the meaning of this verse. This word comes from two words that mean victory and laity. This people originated the system that divided the church into two groups, the clergy and the laity, and the clergymen got victory over the laymen. God hates this. In Corinth, by the time of Paul's second epistle, false apostles and deceitful workers were at work in the Corinthian church. They were, says Paul, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. That's when the Holy Spirit said we should look for the devil in the pulpit as well as in the pew. For he went on to say through Paul, Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. A God-called man doesn't lord it over the flock. He loves the flock. He doesn't fleece the flock, he feeds it. He doesn't preach for gold, but God. The Nicolaitans also excused sin. They made their career a cloak for corruption. But a true man of God is an example in faith, holiness, love, purity, and service. Our Lord continued his approval with the words of verse 3. Thou hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake has labored and hast not fainted. They were true in spite of the trials. They were faithful even in the fire. They were persevering in the face of persecution. They didn't become weary in well-doing. They didn't faint. They followed on. They went from strength to strength. So wonderful a commendation from our Lord seems to leave nothing to be desired. Could anything possibly be wrong? Yes, something was wrong. One may do a right thing in a wrong way. They had hot heads, but they lacked hot hearts. They had action, but not affection. Oh, they were biblical bloodhounds, doctrinal detectives. But there was no fervor in their fellowshipping, no compassion in their communion, no love in their lives. Look at the admonition. Our Lord said in verse 4, "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love." He didn't say, "Thou hast lost thy first love," but left it. The word "left" in this verse is applied to divorce, where the man of that time dismissed the wife whom he had ceased to love. How tragic that such a term could ever be used of a saint in relation to the Savior. The Christians had begun to divorce the Lord from their heart. They had begun to substitute self for the Savior, haughtiness for humility, routine for rapture. Oh, they labored, but there was no love in their labor. They gave, but there was no glow in their giving. They spoke, but there was no sparkle in their speaking. They prayed, but there was no passion in their prayer. They read the Bible, but there was no rapture in their reading. while the top of the tree was flourishing, a dread decay had smitten the base of the trunk. It couldn't be seen by others, but there was a chill within, a lowering of the temperature. The eye wasn't so keen. The step wasn't so elastic. The heart didn't beat so fast. The enthusiasm wasn't so great. Are you asking, how can I avoid that failure of love? There are several ways. First, keep on reminding yourself what Christ has done for you. Keep his sacrifice and your salvation ever before your eyes. John Newton, you remember, was a wretched rascal, but he was wonderfully converted. When he got converted, he made a sign that he hung above his mantelpiece. It read, "Thou shalt remember thou wast a bondman in the land of Egypt, and the Lord thy God redeemed thee." Thomas Goodwin, a preacher, wrote to his son, "When I was threatening to become cold in my ministry, when I felt Sunday morning coming and my heart wasn't filled with amazement at the grace of God, or when I was making ready to dispense the Lord's Supper, do you know what I used to do? I used to take a turn up and down among the sins of my past life. I always came down with a broken and contrite heart, ready to preach, as it was preached in the beginning, the forgiveness of sins. Always keep before your mind, I won't forget what Christ has done for me." Second, keep on living close to Christ. Friendship will die if it isn't nourished by continual contact. "A man," said Dr. Johnson, "should keep his friendship in constant repair. If there's a day when you don't pray or read the Bible, the love for the Lord will fade." Can it be that you have left the love that you had for the Lord at the first? Is the emotion, the enthusiasm, the energy lacking in your life? You know, it's altogether possible to become so occupied with laboring for Christ that we fail to be with Christ, loving him. He wants your love more than your labor. And when he has your love, he'll have your labor. Does the Lord Jesus have your love? Do you have the love for the Lord that you once had at the beginning? Oh, just now, look upon the wounds of our Lord. Look upon him suffering on the cross and fall in love with him all over again, won't you?